Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Mastermind Your Launch on Business Radio X. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we are broadcasting live today from the Roswell Infinity Studios at Digital Ignition in Alpharetta. Thank you all so much for listening. If you are tuning in live right now, October 10th, 1010, then definitely follow us on Twitter too. You're going to get some behind the scenes shots of us here in studio. You can check out all of the action at North Fulton BRX. And just in general, you should be following me on Instagram at Mastermind Your Launch. There's lots of fun going on over there too. We have a very special show today. Someone who's been a huge, I mean, how to articulate, he's been a huge force in my business growth in Mastermind Your Launch. And I'm so glad that he's here today. Gene Hammett of Leaders in the Trenches, and also now author of The Trap of Success. Gene, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I know we're going to go all over the place today. Today's a big day for you and me. You've got the book released today, and I'm launching or hosting Woe Number 3 today, Women Only Entrepreneurs. And so if you're listening live and you still want to check out Woe, you have a little bit of time and there are just a few more seats, woeatl.com, woeatl.com. We're going to have an incredible event tonight. Dancing, DJ, interview, affirmations. I just can't even describe the energy, you know, that's going to be going down tonight in Alpharetta at the Metropolitan Club from 6 to 9. It's been quite a journey. Gene, can you believe that we're here from where we were like 2 years ago when we first met?
I can't believe it took so long.
Amen. I like that. Yeah, Woe's my big thing, but you have a very special project that you've just released.
Yeah, this is launch day.
It's launch day.
And there's even tears in my eyes because it took a lot to get here.
Yeah, it always does.
And I'm talking about the work, like the focus and the determination, and it you know, there were setbacks along this journey with, you know, cost and energy and all those things. Things didn't go as we wanted, and even up till last night. And but it was also a part of, you know, my life. And that's one of the things that's different about this book is I think a lot of authors are like this, but not everyone. I put my heart and soul into creating something that is an expression of me.
Right.
Not just another business book. It is a story. You know, there's a hidden message inside that story that was hard for me to really put my finger on, but it's been exciting to watch that develop and come out.
You know, and what you're talking about, all of the work that's gone into this book, that's all the stuff that people don't see. I mean, that's what this book is all about, the trap of success, you know, that people see the success and they might wish for it, admire it, you know, pursue it themselves. But there is so much that people don't see that comes along with that. What inspired this book?
Losing $3 million one day.
There's a story.
And deciding that I've got to move forward with my life no matter what and pick up the pieces. And that was 7.5 years ago. I remember 5 years ago when I really became a full-time coach because I had a little bit of a stint of working for the man in there just to pay the bills. But I knew that I would have a book. I didn't know what it would be called. I didn't know what it was. But I knew I'd be on stages. I knew I'd be holding a book up and I could see myself. I could visualize that. And I did it over and over and over for weeks, if not months. And that was really the catalyst to keep moving forward and not fall prey to, I wish I would have, or any kind of regrets in this. And I knew this would come. I wished it would have been sooner.
Well, everything always seems to happen at the right time. So I usually, you're like, no, it could have happened sooner. But it does always seem to work out with the right time. But I mean, going back to what you said, losing $3 million in one day, share that story because it is really a gut-wrenching story, but you're so brave in sharing.
Where do you want me to start?
What's the phone call?
Yeah. I mean, I remember being in Vancouver and gray kind of day. Vancouver wasn't that cold. It was January 12th. And I was waiting on that phone call. I've been working 18 months with my business partner and my best friend on a contract. And this was the day I was getting details on delivery. Now, what I call the day was the 15th. And it's, I also call that the 2x4 day. Because that's what it feels like when you get told that everything is about to change and you're about to lose everything. Now, of course, it didn't come out exactly like that. That phone call was, I have a problem. I'll take care of it. And that was the first time I had an uneasiness around this. And been, he was holding $3 million of my money, mine and my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to, quote unquote, work it out.
And you're not feeling so good about that.
I didn't feel good. I sat down on the edge of the bed and I remember the gut check I had at that moment. And I told my wife what was going on. And she asked, are we going to be okay? And I had to say, I don't think so.
Wow.
And I could only go to, at the time, my son was almost 3 years old. So he's like 2 3/4. And he still doesn't know what happened. He knows that we moved from the big house. Because we lost everything.
Yeah.
I live not too far from here in Alpharetta / Cumming.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved in the city to a rental. And he was like, this is not my house. This is not my house.
Oh, and that's just breaking your heart every single time.
And I get caught up on tears. But that really was a catalyst to moving forward. Because it's really hard to see your problems when you're in the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes for everyone, everything. I don't think, you know, anybody's immune to this. When you are in that situation, the emotions, the pull that it has, the fear that it causes, the doubt, it's really hard. And that's where I was with my business. Like, even if you go back before that, the reason I had 3 million is because I built a very successful business based on trust and credibility for 9 years. And I figured out the kind of magic behind this. I had freedom. I had all this money flowing. And I wanted to do something, but I wouldn't let myself do it. And so, you know, there was some regret in there. There was some guilt, probably even shame, because I'm an action taker. But when you're making that much money and you have that much comfort, it's real easy to coast. And so I wrote the book to help people understand that if you keep talking about something, if you keep thinking about something that you're not doing, you need to really examine yourself and really look at what's really causing that. What kind of fear? Like, name the fear.
Yeah.
And how do you activate the courage that you need to move forward? How do you get clear about where you're going so that you can move forward? So this book is really mostly about the journey back.
Yeah. And into purpose.
Into purpose.
Yeah. Right?
Or significance.
I love that. And, you know, what I have seen, I think, you know, in my own life and from a lot of the people around me that have experienced a setback that actually pushed them into what their purpose was. I won't get like mega spiritual or anything, but I do believe that we all have a calling and a purpose. And you have two ways that you're going to get there because the universe is going to push you there. So you can either choose yourself to follow, explore, be curious, and find it on your own, or the universe will give you a 2x4. and prompt you to figure it out. So you kind of have those two choices. You're going to get there. But I think success, the golden handcuffs, as a lot of people will call them, that's probably the biggest reason why so many people find themselves just going along in life and not pursuing their passion and their purpose is because they haven't felt that need to, or they feel the need, but they... I don't know. Maybe you've studied this in your book.
I have.
I mean, you talk about it.
I look at it with people and they get comfortable and they get into a place of complacency. Like, success mm-hmm. breeds complacency.
Mm.
And I call that the drift.
Okay.
And it's real easy to just drift along with life and drift along with relationships, with your health. It's real easy to drift along with and just do what you've always done.
For years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And put up with it and tolerate it. But it eats away at you. It pulls at you and it makes you even doubt yourself.
And you know it. You have like an inner stirring.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I've seen this happen over and over and over. And it's really interesting that you call it choice, because there's a whole section in this book about getting to choice. Because most people think they don't have a choice. They live in a place where...
That's story number one.
I'm going to just keep going. I got to make this work. Or maybe it's persistence. I'm going to dogged persistence. And I say this all the time. You can't out-hustle a bad strategy.
Okay.
Right? You can't outwork a bad direction. Like, it's going to bring you right back. Mm-hmm. Right? You're not going to get what you really want out of it.
Right.
So, but you got to get to choice. You got to really understand that there's choice. And I share stories of clients, you're in here.
You guys, I'm published.
You're going to have to find it because I'm not going to tell you where it is, although I could. But you're going to have to, it's just a micro story around where you had a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. You had to make a choice based on where you wanted to go in life. And I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I watched you twist and turn, but you made a choice.
Right.
And the result of that is you weren't trapped by what you'd always done. You weren't trapped by the success.
Mm-hmm.
You have exploded into what you're doing. And so that's you. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made the book. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Chopping block. Well, thank you. I mean, I don't know how much you want to dive into your coaching on the episode, or do you want to focus more on the book?
No, I mean,
I think we got to talk about your coaching.
The work I do is shifting a little bit. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I have been working with hyper growth companies, right? I really like to take people who are ready to be activated, whether that be the founder, but also the leadership team, or maybe even emerging leaders in the company,
mm-hmm.
and help them understand hyper growth to a better degree. So I have been coaching a lot of these companies to the Inc. 5000 list. So that's a real honor.
Yeah.
And I want more of that. Like, I want to help people that need to understand what hyper growth is. And now some people are not, they don't have that team. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working with them to help them define the core business that has distinction and really stands out from the crowd. And the words I use and talk about it on stage is called Be the Choice, Not a Choice.
Mm-hmm.
So that's still a part of what I do.
But you're more focused on people that have figured that part out and are ready to really just accelerate.
I'm still helping people do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of what I'm doing because everyone's so broadly. I had an article published yesterday in Entrepreneur Magazine around emotional connectivity.
Mm-hmm. Saw that.
And it really is about, you know, are our brands emotionally connecting? Here's what's really interesting. And I'm in marketing. You're in marketing to a degree. A lot of the hyper growth companies, these companies are growing at over 1,000% a year in most cases. And I've talked to 45 CEOs in the last like 3 or 4 weeks.
Wow.
They're not doing much marketing.
So
think about that.
Yeah. I'm like, you guys didn't see my face, but I had a very confused face. So what's their, their challenge now? So obviously they've proven though, if they're not doing any marketing, they're getting that kind of growth. They're proving that there is a value there. So it's like, what could they do if they did turn on the marketing machine?
Yeah. So there are some that have built their business based on marketing. So I talk to companies that do box subscription services and mm-hmm. some online kind of businesses that are very heavily into the marketing. But more than like 90% of those conversations were, yeah, I still do our own marketing and we're just scratching the surface of that. So they're defining a company up front that is already disrupting or having some level of distinction in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
They could always go further into that, but that's the reason they're getting success. They're very niche focused. They're very powerful in what they're doing. And it's really interesting to do that because that's the one way I think,
mm-hmm.
you know this about me.
You said niching. I'm like, that's, yeah.
But there's very specific companies that are following that path. And then they're also activating more than just the founders. This is what's really got me excited. I'm kind of coining the term brand ambassadors.
Okay.
So these companies are letting others take the rein and share the message.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be through media or through podcast or through speaking on stages, but they're creating content, they're sharing that message, and it is the founders. The founders are still doing that. That's common.
Mm-hmm.
But it's others too.
Interesting.
And so I knew that this was coming. And so I'm trying to ride that wave into this because I think there's a lot of companies that are, you know, building personal brands. You build a lot of personal brands. You're excellent at this for the people you work with because I've seen it and I've seen the expression of their success. But there's a lot of growth that can be happened inside. So my coaching, the work I'm doing, the consulting is working with these companies that want to either be in hypergrowth or who are already in hypergrowth and want to continue that to activate the entire company to develop that personal brand, the brand ambassador mm-hmm. kind of concept.
It's the whole culture of the company.
It is.
I love it.
And take it even a little step further. One of the things that's really interesting, because I've been an entrepreneur for almost 2 decades, is they're embracing the entrepreneurial culture, that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so my next speech and the one that I just booked that I was telling you about
yeah.
In Canada is Unleashing the Entrepreneur Spirit in Your Culture.
Fascinating. I love it. I'll have to check that one out for sure.
So it could be the next book.
Well, so let's talk a little bit. You have all of this going on with your business, and then you are writing a book. How do you do that? How do you find the time? Because writing a book isn't just like sitting down to check email. I mean, you really have to be in the zone, get the juices flowing, get the inspiration going. How did you find that you were able to do that?
I'm pretty good at those things. I've been writing for a long time as part of the business and really thinking about this.
Contributor to Entrepreneur,
For 2.5 years. So I wrote the book in a series of three-day weekends.
Okay.
So I started like between...
you're just like immersion. Like I'm just going to...
Yep.
Okay.
Between Memorial Day and Labor Day was the real bulk of the work mm-hmm. last year. So, and that wasn't that hard. I mean, I sat down with the one thing I do, I couldn't write a little bit every day. I wasn't 1,000-word-a-day kind of person. Mm-hmm. I needed that deep time to really go into it. And so I was sitting down to write one chapter.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't let myself eat until I finished the chapter. And I like to eat.
I wouldn't write very good chapters if I hadn't eaten.
I feel like I learned how to really connect with myself.
Yeah.
And actually feel more clear mm-hmm. about this. And I really shifted a lot of my way of being through that.
Reminds me of the Tony Robbins conference. Very immersive. You don't eat, but somehow you're like, I feel the best I've ever felt, you know, and you're so connected. Yeah.
And I would do that. So that's one concept. I actually, one of the things that, if you get the book, you get access to these companion exercises
and case studies.
You're in there. But you get access to a video that I could put together, like the 7 things I learned and really new things I learned to take your focus to the next level. And one of those was, that block of time. Mm. And another one was I listened to a certain kind of music that really zoned me in. And I tried to sit in the same spot. Really weird.
Oh, yeah. So you kind of like have your lucky kind of zone. Yeah.
And if I didn't have it, I was a little bit irritated. someone else got it. And I'm like spying it. Like, what are they doing? Mm-hmm. Did they say my name on there somewhere?
Yeah.
And I drove to another coffee shop. I didn't realize the distinction behind that, but I've heard a lot of kind of experts talk about like the different environment.
Yeah.
Puts you in when I went to that coffee shop, it wasn't to do X, Y, and Z. It was to do one thing.
Right.
And so I planned myself, my body subconsciously was just
tuned into
it. Yeah.
So Tony Robbins.
It is. So huge part of the shifts to create a book were just the commitment to do it. Like I knew I would do it. And I had the idea, but I moved forward a little bit, but not much. I got a business to run. I'm busy. And then I just decided I've got to make this work.
You made the choice.
Yep.
And, I've a lot of people, talk about, and I want to write a book. Hear it all the time. But one, you did it. But two, I was so impressed now I'm holding it in my hand. It's beautiful, but this is a book. This is how many pages? Like 250 pages here?
Yep.
You really poured a lot into this. And I know that your story is in here. You give case studies of different people that you've worked with. So we get to see from different angles and industries mm-hmm. how these, principles play out. Just incredible.
Turn it over. You didn't even notice the blurbs.
The blurbs? What do you mean?
Like
on the back?
My advanced readers. Do you notice anything about those?
What? This part right here?
So got the an ex-president of Starbucks.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Other
New York
best-selling
Times
authors.
Best-selling author. Yeah. Just the people that you're hanging out with brunching on a Sunday.
Yep.
I love it. I mean, well, you have a podcast yourself.
I do.
And Leaders in the Trenches.
Yes.
And I mean, I know by the caliber of people that you've interviewed on your show that your sphere of influence is exceptional. So I would expect nothing less.
It was not easy. I got turned down a lot, which is that, I didn't take it personally because there were a lot of people that, I kind of swung for the fences
mm-hmm.
and they're like, well, I'm best-selling author and my publishers won't let me do blurbs anymore because then everybody wants a blurb.
Yeah.
And so, those little things happened.
But you keep pushing.
I just kept going.
That's why you're such a great person to work with. You help people get that extra bit that they probably wouldn't do themselves.
I would, you know, and what I've learned just through my own journey, I would keep, you know, these big projects like this. I know you have to accept that it's going to be hard. I think you know, some people say, well, don't expect problems. Like, their problems are going to come up. Like, there's going to be things that pull you away from your big desires, maybe to keep you right where you were, even if it's not where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I had to face those demons or doubts along that journey, and to create a book, to have one in your hand. I mean, it was hard. I mean, the last month was probably the hardest ever because of all of the small details, pulling all these little things together. Like, I read the book, like, literally from beginning to end, 3 different times, not counting the audiobook that I produced. Can I share with them that special offer I was going to offer?
Oh, yes, please do.
So the audiobook is hard. It's just,
reading
is hard.
I would think that that's the fun part. Like,
no.
I just want to write my book so I can record the audiobook.
No.
Can I just read other people's audiobooks?
You could read other people's audiobooks. We skip words when we read. Like, we just kind of scan. And so when you're, like, literally trying to read what it is, like, there's a lot of mistakes. And so it takes...
Like, as far as, like, how you talk. Yeah.
Compared to a podcast, it takes, a lot more to produce that. On average, I read this, that it was 6 to 7 hours of work per hour of finished audiobook.
Wow.
And this is at least 7 or 8 hours. I haven't counted.
Oh,
how much
my
it
gosh.
Is. So it was more than a week, and my throat got sore and whatnot. So hopefully you can appreciate the hard work that it takes in there.
Yeah, obviously.
My audience, you know, I've got thousands of people that listen to me through my podcast, and I thought, you know, I should do something because they probably like to listen. Mm-hmm. I like to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to do it. I figured it out. So I made myself do it, and I'm glad I did. Got it all processed. We got it ready. It's not on Audible, but if you buy the book for this week, and it's $3.99 digital, so I'm not getting rich on that. It's $14.95 or something paperback.
Okay.
So that's, you know, reasonable. And you can have it literally in shipped to your house in 2 days, I think, with Prime. I want to give you the audiobook. So anybody who sends me the receipt at gene@leadersinthetrenches.com, I will give you access to the audiobook, and you can put that onto your computer, you can put it onto your phone, you can stream it. But for those of you who go, well, I don't read that much, buy the Kindle.
Yeah.
Take a look at it, like, at least flip through it and make sure that you
open it up.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
I'm sure Amazon's looking at that, or the open rates.
They probably
or something.
Are. So take a look at it and maybe read one chapter, or maybe you follow along with me when I'm reading it to you, if that's your thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm in marketing, you're in marketing. Like, I'm going to reduce the friction here. If you buy the book, I'm going to give you the audiobook. So just, you know, make sure you email me that receipt so my team can send it over to you.
Right. Well, and thank you so much for that offer. So just to remind everyone again, you can go to Amazon, look up Gene Hammett or The Trap of Success.
Yep.
Grab the Kindle version for $3.99 or the paperback for $14.95.
Yep.
Send him the receipt, gene@leadersinthetrenches.com. And then he'll give you the audio version for free that he spent so many hours and had to drink lots of hot tea to make it through. But I love that because I think at the end of the day, you mentioned the word significance earlier.
Yeah.
And I know this is a big part of your legacy and your significance and the work that you do in this world. And so, you know, but it doesn't do any good if it just sits there and people don't get to consume it and then get to you know, then let it roll around in their mind with all of their experiences and maybe what they're feeling right now and apply it to their next steps.
There's two things I was thinking about this morning when I was at the gym, because I knew I was coming in to meet you and I wanted to make sure I was on point. There's two reasons why you would want to buy the book, I think. One is potential. There is a lot of people that have this running in their mind of doing something bigger, doing something better, it could be leaving the work. It could be stepping up to really go after and create, you know, accept responsibility, ownership of the next big project. It could be taking leadership position. There's a lot of different things. We all have different goals, right? But if you are talking about it, thinking about it, and not doing anything about it, you're not living into your fullest potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's in your mind, you could step into that. You may have to grow as a person. You may have to...
guaranteed.
Yeah. This whole thing of entrepreneurship is about growth.
Mm-hmm.
But you that is... Potential is something that plays through the mind. And then the other one's significance. We've been talking about that. I was successful. And I thought success was a gateway to significance. Mm. I thought it was a linear path. I thought I had to go through success to get to significance. And the way I define significance is the contribution, the impact to the world, the meaning that you're bringing to others' lives, not just yours. But you get to grow and you're enriched because of that.
Right.
That's the way I look at significance. So this book is about those two things. And if you, one of the things that, you know, I know you're a dancer, so I'm going to use the metaphor, and it's actually in the book, is I found that success and significance dance together. Most people are going after success and they leave the significance right. on the sidelines. I'll call you when I'm ready.
Yeah.
And I find that they actually dance together. If you go after significance and you're actually moving forward with success, the energy that you're putting into both of those, and you know, the case study, I'll talk about you for a second, is all about that. Like the decision to move into this market, I'm pulled to serve women. Mm-hmm. Is it the best thing for me financially? It wasn't at a certain point in time. Maybe it's getting better now. I hope so. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when you doubted yourself and like, but I'm called to do this. And you stepped in and you did it. Right? Yeah. Whoa, Atlanta 3.0 wouldn't be where it is today, tonight, if it weren't for you having the courage to do that and wanting to impact people.
You're going to make me cry.
But that was the reason.
I have false eyelashes on. Don't do that.
You're so potential right. and significance. And so this book will help you unlock those things. If those are important to you, if you want to be at your fullest potential, if you want to have significance in what you're doing, then this book will help you in that journey.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gene, just for everything for being here today. It's been a pleasure to have you on. And I really do hope that the listeners have enjoyed the interview and that they will check out The Trap of Success, because no matter where you're at on your journey, you're probably got a little bit of a trap of success. And so thank you for sharing your journey so transparently so that we can all benefit from it.
And if anyone forgets my name or forgets The Trap of Success or Leaders in the Trenches and all that stuff, you can always go to GeneGeneTheDancingMachine.com.
Ah!
And it'll take you right to a place where you can actually buy that book.
Oh my gosh. Now you have to put the video of you dancing on the stage on that link.
Because I was telling you before, and I know we're wrapping up, I think I'm the only person in the world that does swing dancing as a professional speaker.
Yeah.
And so
that I'm aware of.
That I'm aware of too.
So, there's a challenge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got a lot to handle if you're going to come in my world.
Agreed. I love it. Thank you for being here. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Remember that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.